The New Philadelphia Classical Symphony was founded in 1993 by artistic director Carl Mittleman. It's a professional chamber orchestra, and it has quite a mission, and Carl is here today to talk with us about an upcoming concert.
Nice to be with you, Jill.
That's great to have you. Tell us a little bit about why is it the New Philadelphia Classical Symphony? Was there a classical symphony before that, a Philadelphia
Classical? Yes, there was. For 10 years, we were a period instrument orchestra. That means playing instruments from the time of Handel or Mozart, or copies of those instruments. And we had a wonderful life. We did concerts of Bach and Handel and Mozart, and we went about as far as we could go with that. And then my own background, being that of a composer, I felt that I could enrich our repertoire if I could expand it. So actually, about 3 years ago, we totally reorganized the orchestra. We reorganized the board of the symphony. And so a new name, we haven't actually picked a new name, but there's something new about what we're doing. So for now, at least, we're the New Philadelphia Classical Symphony. We're a modern instruments orchestra. And our purpose is to enhance the concert experience for today's listeners. Basically, we feel that Philadelphia area listeners in particular are extremely well served by the existing groups in Philadelphia, and there still is a great need for orchestras to try to reach younger and less experienced audiences. So by performing thematically organized programs, such as Mozart and the Dance, or a program featuring the marimba, we think that we can sort of present a full picture. In every little concert that we do, we can present a chunk of the essential musical experience in a unique way that novice listeners can find very exciting and engaging.
So there is an educational aspect to your performances. It sneaks in there so that people will not come to the concert expecting to learn very much out front, but absorbing not only the music but the ambiance of the period and of the composer, and of course experience it in a very, very different way than just kind of looking at the program and saying, what is this?
When we did a program devoted to Mozart and the Dance, we served the audience a Wiener Schnitzel dinner prior to the concert, and then we taught them the minuet step. And the program was based on 300 different dances that Mozart wrote mostly for New Year's Eve balls, music that's rarely performed anymore and certainly not danced to. So we were able to present some very esoteric music, but at the same time make it very engaging, because the audience became, so to speak, stakeholders, having eaten some of the food beforehand and danced the dance.
They were probably schnitzel holders.
Schnitzel holder.
I think it's a marvelous idea. You wrote a little intro here, and I couldn't understand. You said, you'll hear the music, but you'll also eat the food, don the garb, dance the dance, talk the talk, walk the walk, and become utterly immersed in the period that gave birth to the notes. And I think that it's a sensory experience then, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I can't promise we do all of those at every concert, but we do aim to engage our listeners as participants at every program. So, for example, before the concert that we're about to talk about, called China and the Allure of the Orient, we're going to have a dim sum brunch. So, see, I like to think that we nourish our audience's waistlines as well as their souls.
Now, where do you serve this when you have your performances?
Many of our performances are in churches because, among other reasons, because they're very accessible and affordable, but also because they have common rooms or social halls. And this program will be on Sunday, April the 23rd at 3:00. That's when the concert starts. And it will be preceded by a dim sum brunch in the social hall at our site, which is Holy Trinity Church on Rittenhouse Square.
Now, can you get tickets at the door? Is that the way it works?
You certainly can.
Or can you call beforehand?
If you want to call for tickets, again, you should try 610-664-8481.
I was just wondering in advance reservations. Highly suggest. The music of the Orient, fascinating. Very, very different from what we are used to here in the Western world. but it has become very familiar. I think that people are really listening much more to, or more music is actually coming our way. The concert that you are doing is featuring some fine composers, and of course you as a composer, I guess, are aware of the fact that it is so difficult to have music played, even if it's of your own country. So this is quite an accomplishment. The ensemble that is appearing with the Classical Symphony is called Music from China, straight out. What is the instrumentation of that ensemble?
They have a flexible instrumentation according to what kind of program that they're going to perform. Sometimes their concerts involve just a duo from the ensemble, sometimes even a sextet. We'll be using a quartet of musicians from that ensemble playing authentic Chinese folk instruments, including the pipa, the erhu, the zheng, and the tzitzu, which is a kind of Chinese flute.
Say that one again.
I may be mangling, I'm sure I'm mangling the language, but it's spelled D-I-Z-I. I think I have that right. And it's a tzitzu.
And that is a flute?
It's a open-hold flute with a membrane that also resonates.
Inside it?
Yes, I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Now, the erhu is like it's a violin type of thing?
That's the Chinese equivalent of the violin, only it has a huge neck that's very thin and just two strings.
Yes.
And a very small bass to it.
They bow that, of
and
course.
And it's bowed. In fact, the Chinese national orchestras have 10 to 12 erhus in there that are analogous to our violins.
Then you have the pipa, which has become much more popular because of the Yellow River Piano Concerto, I think. But but it is also a lute-like instrument, isn't it?
It is the version of the Chinese lute. It has four strings. It has, I think, 32 frets to it. And what separates it, though, from most plucked instruments, such as the guitar, is that every finger of the plucking hand has some kind of strong tape around it. And so that the instrument is capable of making quite a metallic sound.
Now, how did this all come about? But what inspired this subject matter?
Well, I was inspired by something that Yo-Yo Ma once said, and if I may, he wrote that listening to and learning from the voices of an authentic musical tradition, we become increasingly able to advocate for the worlds they represent. We discover transnational voices that belong to one world. And the more that I study music, that's just sort of a fancy way of saying what Louis Armstrong said which is that all music was folk music.
Yes.
And it's very easy for us to forget, I think, we're so inured to the great composers of the Western canon, Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven, that it's very easy for us to forget what you demonstrate on this show almost week after week, which is that world music, there are many different world music traditions, and in fact the great composers such as Mozart and Debussy borrowed from these traditions in their own time.
I was going to say the folk music is there. Mozart, Beethoven certainly, and I think all the way down the line you have it through the Romantic era as well. So I guess that what is it? There is nothing new in music in the sense that we're using the same notes, we're using the same ideas. We've been speaking today with Carl Mittleman, who has fascinated me completely with his series of concerts by the new Philadelphia Classical Symphony. A whole new experience, Carl. This sounds wonderful. It's music from China, I guess. Is that what is the exact title of this concert?
The title is China and the Allure of the Orient.
And the Allure of the New Philadelphia Classical Symphony. Thanks so much for coming to Crossover and sharing your ideas and your new approaches with us.
It's been great to be with you. Thank you, Jill.